Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we celebrate Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe, the end of our liturgical year. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very well.
Looking forward to the Thanksgiving holiday that is coming up, of course, and we're all excited for that. And the calendar continues to move quickly. We are here on the last Sunday of the liturgical year, as I said, the last Sunday before Advent.
It is. It is. It's the final Sunday of the year, the liturgical year, and next Sunday we'll begin Advent. As we sit here week after week, time flies.
It most certainly does. As we turn our attention to the gospel this morning, it is from St. John. Bishop, if you would now proclaim that for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirits.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, this gospel sounds quite familiar. This is the one that we hear on Good Friday.
Sure. The Gospel of John is read every Good Friday during the liturgical celebration service that we have, the Adoration of the Cross. So it's the lengthy gospel, but part of it, in the middle of it, is this presentation of Jesus to Pilate, who, of course, was the Roman ruler at the time. I believe that Herod, the king prior, had died and had divided up his kingdom, and his son that was in charge of this part of the kingdom, Jerusalem and Judea, was not a very good one, and the people themselves, I think, wanted him removed. So the Romans brought in Pilate as the ruler. So there's a little bit of a struggle here between the people of the place, the Jews, and also the Roman occupiers, you might say. And but Jesus is brought in front of them, in front of him, by those who wanted to hand him over.
And it's interesting, too, that Jesus was characterizing the kingdom as an otherworldly reality in his role as witness to the truth. A little bit of a different approach, a different tempo, a different feel to this gospel than what's read during the Passion.
Yes. Well, you know, of course, I think it's interesting with these special feast days, or what we call now solemnities. And of course, in the liturgical calendar, when a solemnity is the highest form of celebration that we can have. So a solemnity such as this one takes the place of the 34th Sunday in ordinary time. So whenever we have a solemnity, it's the highest form of celebration for the liturgy that we have. But this came about 100 years ago by Pope Pius the 11th. Who, seeing the rise of nationalism and secularism, instituted this feast day, this solemnity, to remind us of who is at the center of our life, who is at the center of the universe. The nationalism, of course, we saw throughout Eastern Europe and in Germany, and the rise of the Nazis and so many others, which did such devastation, especially in the Holocaust and and so many other atrocities, and then also the rise of Marxism and Leninism and all of these. So people really trying to put the temporal order above the spiritual order. As we know, they should work together if we understood. But once we try to eliminate God and eliminate any kind of a notion of power from above, these kind of movements get nervous. Even the secularists, and I hope we can understand this as very relevant to today, that we have this great secularist movement where any kind of notion of the divine, any kind of spiritual sense, which of course the church is here and religion is here to bring us the voice of God into the secular, not to take over or not to destroy power. It's not a power struggle, but to be a light, to be a voice. And so whenever there's this struggle, we enter into these kinds of closed-minded debates and closed-minded struggles. So this Feast of Christ the King was instituted to remind us and to allow us to celebrate the fact that as Jesus's kingdom is not of this earth, neither is ours. We don't live for the here and now only. We live to build a just society. We are here to cooperate and to be a part of the secular world, but with a different spirit, with a spirit that, above all, speaks of the dignity of every human person, without prejudice, without a selective notion of who should benefit and who shouldn't. Those kind of values which are from God, because God loves all, sometimes threaten a more temporal order. And so there's this struggle that goes on in our world. And the Feast of Christ the King, for us as Christians, reminds us of who we are first. I say this tongue-in-cheek, but sometimes I think even we Catholics feel that maybe we're more American than we are Christian.
Right.
With all due love and respect for our country, but it won't last for eternity. I mean, and we won't last in this world for eternity. Our St. Paul says this over and over, our citizenship is in heaven. We're passing through this world. And as we pass through, we should make a mark. We should do all that we can to bring what we know from our faith is from God, is the truth, as Jesus says that he's come to bring us the truth about our relationship with God and our truth, the truth about our relationship with our brothers and sisters, with everyone. And so we have to be, as the Beatitudes speak of, peacemakers. We have to be people who are merciful. We have to be people who seek peace and justice, etc. So all the things that we find in the Beatitude are our values, and that's first. And so the Feast of Christ the King reminds us that this is first. We live in this world, again, quoting St. Paul, as strangers, but not strangers who are disengaged, but strangers who are totally engaged. I was just reading, actually, this past week, I subscribed to the Vatican News Service, and I didn't have time to spend a lot of time with it. But even the Pope was giving a talk, I think, with the Sunday Angelus last week. But speaking of the fact that we are Christians, we are spiritual people, we are people whose heads are in the cloud in a certain sense, meaning in the truth of God's Word. But we don't pass through this world as disinterested, as people who are unengaged. But we are we must be totally engaged in our society, in our world, but to bring the light, to bring a new way of thinking. And it's when these two thinkings, one totally temporal and one totally spiritual, clash, there's a problem. So we should be, this is why Jesus is the incarnate king, because he was both human and divine, and they didn't have any kind of a conflict within him. He was totally human, but he was also totally God. And the Christian's journey of faith is that very journey, to be totally engaged in all that is human, but with the Spirit of Christ, with the heart of Christ. This morning I was reading a meditation in which it was from Kara Lubick, actually, and she said that, you know, that our nature is love. And when there is no love, we are far away from the church. We have no trace of Mary, the Blessed Mother, who brought us Christ, and we are the antithesis of Christ, which is pretty strong. But if there's no love in our hearts, which is the divine side, which is nourished and nurtured by the Word of God, by the sacraments, etc., then we don't bring Christ. We don't bring the light. And so we turn to the secular, as though the secular order can answer all of our questions, can eliminate all of our trials and difficulties, and can somehow restore total peace. We're watching, the rise of conflict in the Middle East, the right. land that is so holy to all of our religions. Where is that light? You know, where is the light to guide us out of this? And so the Feast of Christ the King for us is a reminder that our first light, our first obligation is to develop our faith.
It's an interesting comment you made about being Catholic and being American. Sometimes we forget the Catholic part and we focus on being Americans, and that supersedes our faith sometimes. And of course, we know that there are Catholics all over the world. And if we focus on the love that's at the root of that faith, it would be a much better world.
Sure, and I want to point out they shouldn't be all. It's just sometimes we don't find that balance in ourselves, and that's the call, is to live our faith, and then we see the light inside, the light of truth, the light of love, that can bring new light also to the secular order. So, but that has to find a home in us first. We have to balance that we're both. But with our heart set on the next life, the true life that will last forever. And that notion of eternity is something I think sometimes we forget too as well. So this Feast of Christ the King really should lift our spirits up, lift our hearts up to love Christ who has come to us and remains at the right hand of the Father as our King.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Today we celebrate Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. I am Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And Bishop, we are continuing our conversation, the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe. And as Christ is the King of the Universe, we defer to Him in all things. We pray for His guidance constantly. He makes all that is crooked straight, if you will. I just love that imagery, that terminology, because He corrects us, because He puts things right for us when we go wrong. He's the one who always leads us to the truth.
Well, that's a wonderful, that's a beautiful quote. And I think, you know, you just wish that there was hours and hours and hours that we could spend with this, and everybody had hours and hours and hours to listen, and we all opened our hearts. But I mean, I think we just have to, over time, just keep reminding ourselves that the root of a lot of our problems, I think, with faith and the practice of religion is that we've misunderstood the application of it, those of us who are priests, ministers, and those who receive it. Unfortunately, too often, has seemed like, for many people, a set of rules. And perhaps we have not presented the more spiritual side, which is not to remain spiritual, but in our homilies, I think, should become incarnate in flesh, in people, in flesh within them, the motivation to go and make a difference. But so often, religion has become a very private matter. It's my time with God, and that's so true. But as we're reminded that it's not only my time, but it's our time as a community, that we've missed that communal dimension with it. So when we talk about, or when he mentions about subjugation, that, and of course when you use the word Christ the King, it looks like we're being subjected to somebody else, we're being subjected to someone else's thoughts and ideas, and of course that's that's paragoric to our society today. Nobody subjects me to anybody or anything. But again, it's the nature of what Jesus taught us. A couple Sundays ago, we heard that heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. The Word of God, the Word of which is flesh in Christ, He is the Word incarnate, is not to subject us to a theory or subject us to a line of thought, but it is the eternal Word which is to set us free. And I've said this many, many times, and I keep repeating it. The Word of God sets us free. And so it's not a matter of subjugation, but it's a matter of putting our hands, our lives, in the hands of the one who can write straight lines, write straight with crooked lines. In other words, with my life. But once I only depend and rely upon myself, I'm going to keep writing the crooked lines for eternity because I don't know where I'm going. But the Word of God in this Feast of Christ the King brings us back to the centrality of Christ in each one of our lives, turning ourselves over in trust and faith as He did in His own life. He said, I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. I only do what I've been brought or sent to do. Again, that's not the words of someone who is not free. It's freedom itself. Jesus on the cross, I mean, that's the freest act of handing Himself over. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. That is total freedom there. So we get a misunderstanding, I think, both in the way it's presented, our faith, and also the way that we maybe understand it, that I have to follow the rules and et cetera. And that's for good order. That's the temporal side. You know, we need to do that also to bring about a true, beautiful order within a society such as the church or within, can you imagine, you know, in our city, everybody running lights, red lights, which you see a lot, unfortunately, here and everywhere, but it just does not create order. So all of that, that a quote from the Holy Father on this Feast of Christ the King really reminds us that faith is about putting our hands in the one who loves us and whom we can trust. And not just a matter of subjecting ourselves blindly to a bunch of rules, but really opening our hearts to the Word of God.
You know, if I think any of us have done it and really tried to do it when we've had a situation and we pray about it, we just say, it's in Your hands, God. Just take care of it. And then we see something happened that is truly beautiful.
Sure. And of course, then we have to do our part. There's so many moments that are tense in our life and banal things, I mean, small things, but we get so upset, I should say, and I'm probably one of the guiltiest, but, for example, even getting to an airport, being on a schedule, et cetera, and we think that, you know, it all depends on us and we get impatient and we get angry even at times. But we need to stop every once in a while and just say, into Your hands I commend my spirit, and then go about with a different attitude, with a different approach to the same situation,
exactly.
But we do it differently. This is freedom. This mm-hmm. is what Christ is bringing to us and talks about for us. One of the things I think, just as we're kind of concluding here, is I've always been fascinated as we go back to the beginning with the gospel here that we have right. today for the Gospel of John, is this dialogue between Pilate and Jesus, because I think it speaks to us today as well. Pilate had in this dialogue, and of course there's more to it that's not written here, but in the scripture, so I didn't invite people to go back to John chapter 18 and read that dialogue with Pilate and Jesus. But look at how Pilate, who's a human being, is in front of Jesus, who is God and man. So the eternal is in Christ. The truth is in Christ. And the truth will set him free. But look at how Pilate responds to that. He's got this man in front of him, who he's obviously heard about. And he and his wife even kind of says, leave him alone. He's innocent. But he's caught. He's trapped. He's trapped between the people that he's trying to rule as a foreigner, and he's caught between maybe what he intuits in some way as a holy man if in front of him. But the first thing that he kind of does is tries to shift the responsibility onto other people and kind of when they bring him to Pilate, Jesus to Pilate, he kind of says, go and try him according to your laws. In other words, so kind of shift the responsibility. Don't bring him to me. Take him on yourself. Then he tries to, in a certain way, kind of escape the situation by saying, okay, I've got two prisoners here. There's Barabbas and there's Jesus. Which one do you want? Probably hoping they would say, give us Jesus. That would have escaped his having to do anything. Instead, they said, give us Barabbas, which meant Jesus was left with him. And then another reaction is to try to compromise. Okay, well, let me scourge him first. Let me beat him up first, and then I'll bring him. And after he had the whipping and the crown of thorns and all those things, brought him back thinking that that would appease the crowd, and of course didn't. And then the final approach that Pilate takes is an appeal to the people. Shall I crucify your king? And they have no king but Caesar. He is caught. Many times when we are in front of the truth that we, in whatever way we discover that truth, whether it's something inside of us that we know we need to do, but we may try to shift the responsibility or try to escape the moment or compromise or appeal, and or we read the gospel, we're doing a time of meditation, or we hear the gospel read at Mass as we're this Sunday, and we don't want to face it. I truly believe that many times as we live our faith life, one of the appeals to us is don't shift your responsibility. Don't try to escape the Word of God. It's there not to subject you, going back to what you were reading, but it's there to set us free. But so often we see it as something hard, difficult, that's going to change me. And of course it will. I mean, that's what conversion is all about. I used to give spiritual direction many times when I was a priest, and I would present as people were talking, I would present perhaps a verse or a line from Scripture, and they would say, "Yeah, but that's Jesus." As though, okay, he's perfect, I'm not, and I'm never going to try to be perfect. And that is almost like Pilate, you know. No, here's the word. Here's what he's asking of us. Yes, it's going to mean a change in your life. Yes, it's going to mean maybe a shift. And yes, we may be embarrassed and maybe we'll be persecuted, but that's all in the gospel too. So the word of God is being in front of the truth being the word of God, the teaching that has come down for centuries through the church. We have to face it. And if we don't face it, we'll never grow, we'll never be free. We'll never be who we really are. And so on this Feast of Christ the King, I would just invite us to face Christ as Pilate did but failed, but to face the truth, because in the truth, in Christ, we see ourselves. We see what we can be. Our potential is in Christ, who is our King. Read his word with an open heart and ask for the grace to follow him as a true and faithful disciple.
Thank you, Bishop. As we come to a close, would you please offer us a prayer and a blessing?
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, whose will it is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5. KLUX, and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.